Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Nick's Place. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome in to Gallant George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe, Paul, and Sean sticking around. He's getting free lunch. I'm sure that's why he's still here. He's not here because he loves us. He's been working since 7 o'clock in the morning, so he's going to be out of here as soon as possible. We're out here at Nick's Place. We'll be here all day till 6 o'clock. We'll be broadcasting on ESPN 97.5 all day till 5:15. The final 45 minutes of the Killer Bees Day will broadcast on ESPN 92.5 as Aggies coverage gets underway, so we'll be here all day at Nick's Place till 6, and we're here till 3. Paul, how are you?
I am wonderful, and I'm taking a look at all of these specials that they've got at Nick's Place as we watch the NCAA tournament. Okay, number one, $9.99, all-you-can-eat pasta, soup, salad, and garlic bread until 3. Did I say garlic? I did say garlic. $4 beer and well drinks, $5 Ritas, $6 wine, all until 6 p.m.
Those are good deals.
Get your keisters here.
And if you're like one of those people that love soccer, you know, I don't know if you're one of those people, Paul. You said you gave up on soccer, didn't you?
I gave up on soccer. It's too early. But if you're one of those people who can wake up early for soccer, they got Saturday soccer brunch as well. $2 mimosas? You know what? I could get into soccer for a $2 mimosa.
Yeah, this makes me want to get back into soccer or start watching soccer.
$3 Bellinis, whatever. Pizza for $7. Pitchers of beer for $7. This is your sports watching place. There's a million TVs
it's
here.
Awesome. It's perfect
this
for March
is
Madness.
Where you want to be for March Madness, especially on the first couple of days of the tournament where there are so many games going on, and you can look to the left, to the right, you can see whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, Northwestern trying to get their first ever NCAA tournament win right now. So maybe we'll see history. There's a lot to talk about with March Madness that we'll get into, but we got to start with the local team. Because the Cougs haven't played yet.
Our beloved Cougs.
They play tonight.
That is true. I got my Cougs shirt on for anyone wondering who is the most firm on the bandwagon right now. That would be me. Yes, not Jeremy Branham. It would be me. And our beloved Cougs are going to absolutely smoke Longwood.
They are.
They're going to smoke them.
They're going to smoke it.
Smoke
them.
Longwood.
But last night, the Houston Rockets won their seventh straight game, and Jalen Green was awesome again. He was so good.
I think he was good. I don't know if he was awesome. I like the stretch he's putting together. Listen, I know, Joe, that you can't handle this, but last night was the Dylan Brooks show.
It was the Dylan Brooks show, and it should have been the Dylan Brooks show because it was a dirty play by DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan, for whatever reason, decided to play a little extra emphatic defense with Jalen Green. Knocked Green over. Green took a while to get up. Might have been a little melodrama involved.
Yeah, it's basketball, so yeah.
But melodrama or not, to see Dylan Brooks immediately get in DeMar DeRozan's face, that's exactly why he's here. And this team continues to be some tough SOBs.
Mm-hmm. They love to fight, man. They love to scrap.
Hell yeah.
And Dylan Brooks was justified in all of that because it was a dirty play. Like DeMar DeRozan... It was completely unnecessary.
I don't know if it was dirty. Like I always feel this way with the basketball people. I generally think that like the just complete fear of contact is wussy.
I don't have an issue with contact.
But I don't think the contact was that bad. I don't, but I like that Dylan Brooks stood up for his guy.
He ran right through him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was completely It was a non-basketball play. That's what my.
Well, I like my basketball players to play football.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah,
but like that's a fully non-basketball play in that moment where he just goes right through Jalen Green, and then the real kerfuffle starts. You know, DeMar DeRozan kind of throws a little elbow at Dylan Brooks, and then we go to war. How do you feel about the security guys tackling NBA players like that?
I'm surprised that they haven't been suspended from the league forever or sent to jail. Yeah. Surprised these players who were, again, prima donnas often, haven't pressed charges on the security guards.
I mean, what are they going to do? It's like, you're just a security guard. You don't have the right to touch our NBA players. You can't touch Dylan Brooks like that. But yeah, the kerfuffle happened last night. That's my favorite word right now. I love that the Rockets have this, like, angst and fight within this team. Because it feels so different just watching them play basketball than the last 2 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where we were like, oh, well, this season's kind of done. Hopefully you finish it strong. But 7 wins in a row. I think that's tied for the longest winning streak in the NBA with the Celtics, who have the best record in the Eastern Conference by like 10 games. And they are a 1 game under 500. They're still 2.5 back of Golden State, who has the tiebreaker as far as the race for the 10 seed. But a favorable schedule ahead. They're playing very well, and they're doing it without Alper and Şengün.
And the discourse around that obviously has gotten a little out of hand. You know, there's some tweets that are going around that people were upset with some words that were said.
I'm sorry, Turkey's a soft country for being upset about someone using a proper adjective to describe a player. Adjective.
I totally agree.
If we said, like, the same thing, the English stiff, no one would care. French stiff, no one would care. German stiff, no one would care.
No,
Russian
no one would
stiff.
Care.
Say every country in Europe except for Turkey, no one would care.
American stiff, Jock Landale.
But one country
who's Australian.
Jock Landale is Australian.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But, my bad.
But there's one country that's literally overlooked a genocide, and they're going to talk about xenophobia? Shut your whore mouth.
To be fair, there's been more than one country who's overlooked a genocide.
That is true, Sean. But when you're talking about xenophobia, there's one country that denies their genocide.
Stands above the
Germany doesn't deny theirs.
I love working on this show. You guys are the best. I just never
do you like
know
the history
I
lesson?
I do like that. I feel like I've learned so
I'm
much
gonna tell
more.
You about, want me to tell you about neutral Turkey during World War II?
I've learned so much in the last month.
In your time in Houston radio, how many times did the word genocide get said on any show that you've worked on?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I've worked pretty much.
We're up to like 10 right now.
Yeah, we're up to 10 in the last week.
Clearly not enough.
Yeah, clearly not enough. I would say probably just knowing who I've worked for with. It's not been the first time I've heard it, but it's the most frequent I've heard it.
Okay.
Turkey was neutral in World War II and still sided with the Nazis and turned over Jewish people to the Nazis. But Turkey's going to talk about xenophobia. That's all I'm trying to say.
So, the fight was awesome. Like, all the fights were awesome. This is where we're going back on track here. It was fun to watch. But I love after the game some of the stuff we heard from the Houston Rockets coaches, players. We'll start with Ime Udoka. Here is Ime Udoka, head coach of the Rockets, talking about the scrap from last night's game.
That's been good. I think we talked about from the start of the season, effort and competitiveness have been good. You know, it's not a bad thing to have these type of chippy games where, you know, we had a big lead, they came back, and physicality, we had to increase it to match theirs, and you know, went back and forth a little bit, but that's who Chicago is. They're going to keep playing. They've been down a number of times and fought their way back in, and then you know, I don't mind that part of it at all. It's good that guys are battling, getting competitive. We're all playing for something, and they're not backing down. So that guy takes a hit, teammates are going to stand up for each other, and yeah, you've seen about 3 or 4 of those now, and it's a good thing in my opinion.
What did you think about getting an ejection for that situation?
I mean, I didn't love it being that he got elbowed, you know, and you know, he walked over and just said, didn't say anything crazy. And it's, but they say it's, the rules are the guy that kind of instigates it to get it to that step after DeRozan did what he did, he got suspended because of that. So, you know, don't love it that he got hit with it. But if you walk over, that's basically the rule. That's what how they explained it to me.
He's so soft-spoken, and he's like, yeah, violence is awesome.
Yeah.
TLDL.
He's
violence
like,
rules.
It's okay. He's like, I love fights. I love watching all of this stuff go down. I it's good that Ime is for this because this team needs it. Like, they needed to show heart this season. They're a bunch of quitters the last 2 years. There's no way to ignore it. They didn't like playing for their coach. They didn't play hard. They didn't have good effort on a consistent basis.
I think they all believed, as young players do, that we're all going to be all-stars eventually,
yeah,
and this isn't my problem to fix this.
Yes.
I'm going to be on a good team, I'm going to be an all-star, and there's no one that's really holding me accountable. And now you have someone who's doing that, and, I mean, Jalen Green's responded since the All-Star break comments, and the Rockets have responded since the All-Star break comments, where Ime said we're the softest effing team in the league after that no-effort loss to Memphis before the break.
Yeah, it's. I saw your tweet yesterday because you were talking about this. So this is the exact pretty much way the Celtics started in Ime Udoka's first year. It's pretty close.
Add like 10 to 15 wins.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, but yes, basically, the trend goes, you hire Ime Udoka, you spend the first half of the season adjusting to having hired Ime Udoka, and then you go 9-1 in March, and then the Celtics, back in 2022, eventually went to the finals, much like the Houston Rockets.
There you have it. Sean Mapes says
2024
Houston Rockets.
From the 10 seed.
From the 10 seed. I love it. But like they to the point of the tweet, though, is that it did take them a while to kind of figure out Udoka's style of basketball, and they've bought in completely. And that's what, you know, even, you know, hearing Udoka talk about Brooks' suspension, some coaches might, you know, make a bigger issue of that. You know, if you get one of the soft boy coaches in the NBA, I can't imagine Steve Kerr would be okay with Dylan Brooks getting ejected last night.
Violence is
or
wrong.
Greg Popovich.
I mean, Steve Kerr does coach Draymond Green.
That's true. Like, he does often seem upset with Draymond Green, though.
Yeah, well, Draymond takes it to another level.
I mean, we even had a Draymond incident this week.
Dylan Brooks was justified.
Yeah, he was.
In what he did. We cannot always say the same for Draymond Green.
Brooks is falsely smeared by the liberal media that doesn't understand what he means to, first, Memphis grit and grind culture, but now the Houston Rockets closed fist culture.
Now, there might be some dissenting opinions on this, though, Paul. There might be. Now, maybe not everyone on the Rockets feels the same way. Maybe sometimes it's tongue-in-cheek or not. We'll see. Here's Jock Lawndale after the game talking with Vanessa, I believe it was, about the Dylan Brooks getting thrown out of the game.
See who the tougher team is. See who can out-physical the other one. And Dylan Brooks, if you're listening, this ain't Memphis, man. Stop getting yourself ejected. We need you out here. We need that physicality.
Do you agree with that take?
I'm taking his Australian card back.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. You can't be Australian and claim that like fighting is wrong.
He just wants this guy out there, Paul.
He's saying we like the physicality. Don't get ejected.
Yeah.
No, I'm taking his Australian card back.
Yeah, no, Jock Lawndale's wrong.
A real Australian would get into a scrap and then pound a Foster's Australian for beer afterwards.
Actually, Jock Lawndale, you should have gotten ejected.
Yeah. Jock, why are you standing up for your teammates? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you in the middle of the scrap? Are you the Laramie Tunsil of the Houston Rockets? Not standing up for your own teammates?
More like Nerd Lindale. More like pacifist Lindale. Yeah, not Jock. That's no Jock. That's no Jock that I want. That's a 2024 Jock.
Paul
Jock.
Paul mentioned Dylan Brooks being attacked by the liberal media. We'll go to Chicago to hear from the liberal media when we get back next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming to you live from Nick's Place.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant George here live at Nick's Place, $9.99, all-you-can-eat pasta soup and salad, garlic bread until 3 o'clock. Until 6, you can get $4 beers and well drinks, $5 Ritas.
Hell yeah.
$6 wine. $2 mimosas tomorrow morning if you want to come watch some soccer.
The only way to watch soccer is with alcohol.
That's true. That's a good point. I mean, it's such a boring
game. That's why the English love it so.
It is. I guess I have to pick a team at some point if I'm going to start coming here.
I don't want to pick another team. They're just going to let me down. Picking Everton, like Lance Zierlein, was the worst mistake I've ever made.
I mean, who takes advice from Lance?
I picked them because I liked that they had Lukaku and they had Tim Howard and they had just played in the 2014 World Cup.
That's all I got.
I was excited.
I knew one of those names.
And then there was Ross Barkley and there's a couple of other guys. And I played with them in FIFA, and they had cool uniforms, and I bought a T-shirt, and like I did everything. And then these bums, like they sold all the pieces off, and Tim Howard retired. And I was like, "Well, what am I doing here?"
Yeah, Tim Howard.
This team, like
true American hero,
they like fight off relegation every year. Like that's what you're playing for. Like don't get relegated. I made a huge mistake.
Yeah, I can't. I don't think I could ever just like pick up a team like that.
Yes.
Like as a now 27-year-old, just be like, you know what? I'm living and dying with this team.
That doesn't make any sense.
That plays 12,000 miles away.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all. Maybe when the World Cup comes here in a couple years, there'll be a player that like will catch our eye. If we go see a game, and then we'll follow a team from there. But besides that, I got nothing. So Dylan Brooks, he's hated in Chicago. Shocker. He's hated pretty much everywhere. He is that clear player. We all know them. That you hate them until they're on your team. Or you love them until they're off your team. Like Dylan Brooks is definitely that guy. Here is DeMar DeRozan first talking about Dylan Brooks last night after the game.
Just walking up on me in any type of way. You know, I don't play the walking up on somebody when they back turn. You know, that's just not a thing we do. You know, obviously I walked away from the situation after the foul, you know. So, you know, I just feel like that's an issue walking up on any man from behind.
I mean,
he walked out for me from behind.
You run a player over and then you walk away to your bench. Like, what do you think? Like, no one's gonna confront you? You're the one walking away, dude.
But he luckily has everyone on his side because no one likes Dylan Brooks. So you can say something like that and act like some code was just broken. But yeah, walking up on me from behind. What are you talking about, DeMar?
This is not that serious. DeMar DeRozan taking this way too personal. I think he's just embarrassed because he got blocked earlier in the game.
At that point. What it looked like was, A, embarrassed that he got blocked, B, upset that they didn't call a foul on the block.
Yeah.
And so then the next time down the court, you just hard foul a guy just to get out that frustration. I mean, I'm looking at Paul. We've all done it.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I looked at Paul because I knew I had an ally there.
Yeah. That's all I do to pick up basketball.
Frustration.
If someone does something wrong. Yeah, I lost our team in college, an intramural game, because I made a four-point play happen.
Okay.
I got called for a technical foul and a hard foul on a guy who made a layup because he was cherry picking. So I just blasted him on the other end of the court.
Yeah, that's justified.
Yeah, it is. It is. But he happened to just miraculously make the shot, and he made both free throws, and we lost by one. My friends didn't talk to me because all my friends were on the intramural team, and that blew our perfect season at the time. None of them talked to me for the rest of the night.
Y'all went 18-1.
We were 5-0. It was the last game before the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, what a lengthy season.
I thought you were undefeated until the championship.
No.
I was going to say, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't blame your friends, though, either, Paul. I'd be upset
with you. Well, I blame them. Like, that guy had no honor. You cherry pick, you should be ejected.
I think everyone's in the right here in this situation.
You're
in the right for following them.
But
your friends are also a little bit in the right because you lost the game.
A little dramatic from the fellow Syracuse Orange IM team.
I'm not surprised that the Syracuse media would be that upset.
Oh, we didn't play with the media. I didn't play with those dorks. No, I didn't hang out with those people.
They're undefeated, didn't you hear?
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
But to bring it back to this, so DeRozan was mad that Green swatted a shot by him. This is why he responded as such.
Hard-fouling Green.
It stands to reason that that is the cause and the effect. And
that doesn't make you right, though.
No, it doesn't. And especially when you're talking about Dylan Brooks coming up on you as well. I mean, you would want, if DeMar DeRozan had someone do that to him, DeRozan would want his teammate to do the exact same thing. I would think, especially because DeRozan is in that kind of made man class of NBA players. Like, he's supposed to be the best player on the Bulls, right?
Yeah, 10-year veteran, so everyone respects his game. It's just, it's a situation. It's one of those where everyone's the hero in their own story.
Yeah.
And so he's not going to come out and just be like, you know what? Probably overreacted when I hard fouled Green like that. It's like, no, he hard fouled him. He felt someone touch him, and he probably heard Dylan Brooks yelling at him, then felt someone touch him. So he kind of gave him a elbow, get off me, and it kind of escalated from there. Really.
Well, speaking of people that are soft, Adam Amin, I like him, but he's soft. So is Stacey King, apparently, because the Bulls broadcast was. They were also not very happy of the Dylan Brooks play last night.
They're Brooksist.
Oh, boy, here we go. Now Dylan Brooks is going to make things happen the only way he knows how. And Craig is going to separate him. Bodies are hitting the deck, including security guards.
Well, Dylan Brooks always got to try to start something.
He's got a reputation
for this. He didn't like the foul. Yeah, it was a hard foul. He didn't like it. And then he went up and said something to DeMar, and got in his face, and then that's how it all started.
The only way he knows how, he was 10 of 13 from the field at that point.
Yeah. Like,
I get that that is the broad brush painting of Dylan Brooks, is that Dylan Brooks is going to do dirty stuff in the middle of the game. But that game, he was the Rockets' best player on the court in terms of offensive efficiency and defense. It was not Jalen Green who was the best player. Green played pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, here's less efficient.
The thing about Dylan, too, is Dylan's not Grayson Allen. Like I was actually a little surprised to hear those two guys talking like that, because they've dealt with Grayson Allen's nonsense, where, like, he's upended Bulls players in the last two seasons and had super dirty plays. So I was surprised to hear them talk about Brooks that way, because, like, they're talking about him like he's Grayson Allen.
They're talking about him like he's Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, like he's starting a fight.
Like he's a dirty wrestler. Like, they're talking about him like he's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I mean, he's on the way to Hannibal Lecter, right? Like, he's Hannibal Lecter playing with animals, if you will, and probably eating them after the fact.
I'm just surprised someone like Stacey King, who played in the rough and tumble 90s, got his panties in a bunch.
Yeah, he always does.
I thought this happened every game of the 90s. But, I thought it happened two times a quarter in the 90s that there's
none of those guys live that way. It's crazy. None of the 90s basketball players now, like, they've all gotten just as soft. They talk about how it used to be basketball is not how it was back in my day. And then now you have a Dylan Brooks appearance like this,
yeah, and
they have a meltdown.
It. Yeah, when 90s basketball comes back for literally 5 seconds.
Yeah,
but to defend them a little bit, I don't think King was as bad there. I thought Amin was very from the start, like, oh, Dylan Brooks, this is classic Dylan Brooks. I imagine that these broadcasters are being told, hey, you can't condone fighting, especially if that fighting is happening against the home team.
Like, yeah.
No, it's Homer.
Right. All these local broadcasts.
Was it Dan Fouts or Dan Dierdorf?
Right. I was about to bring that up. With Andre Johnson and Cortland Finnegan, Dan Fouts basically says, oh, wow, you got a couple of good shots in. I mean, bad shots, essentially, because he thought to himself, oh, CBS is going to like me endorsing Cortland Finnegan getting his ass whooped by Andre Johnson.
That could be what it is. I'm sure some of it is just the home broadcast stuff. Although,
oh yeah,
I don't know. Like, maybe it's just Ackerman's different, but I feel like Craig Ackerman's like that, and Ryan Hollins get that. Ryan Hollins a little bit. We'll get into
that territory. Especially because he acts like the biggest homer in this market, and he has no connection. Oh, he has no connection to the Rockets. Yeah. I love it. But yeah. Craig is. I think Craig's pretty neutral.
He's more down the. I mean, anyone's more down the middle than who he replaced.
Bill
Morrell. So maybe Ackerman's just kind of breath of fresh air in that way. But I feel like I listen to other teams' broadcast, or when I hear other teams like local broadcasts, they're way more homerish than Ack is.
I would agree there. There are times, and I used to complain about Bill Worrell all the time, mainly because of when they would complain about a call, he and Matt Bullard just wouldn't stop.
And Clyde.
Like three plays later. Well, Clyde's barely there. Clyde's like, what? Wow. That was Clyde, the basket. Like, that's Clyde's contributions to the class. But those two would focus on one bad call for minutes at end. But at the same time, I kind of wish that Bill Worrell was back for when Dylan Brooks is doing this stuff, because I want to hear Worrell go, like, essentially, for those who don't know, there was this Boston Celtics broadcaster named Johnny Most in the 1980s. Do yourself a favor and look him up. This guy's like chain-smoking Massachusetts dude who's calling these games, and when Bill Laimbeer would do stuff to Larry Bird, he basically one time said, the yellow gutless way they do things in Detroit. Like, that's, I want Bill Worrell to do that, you know?
Yeah, I
want a
that.
Psychotic homer during fights. But when it comes to complaining about the referees, I don't want that.
Yeah. No, the referee complaining is too much. I hate referee complaining.
In all things, yeah.
Well, speaking of referee complaining, let's complain about the refs, because they kind of ruined March Madness last night.
They did.
We'll talk about what happened in the tournament. It was a fun first day. No buzzer beaters, really, but it was a very fun first day of the tournament. We'll talk about that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place.
Paul, Joe, and Sean here with you till 3 o'clock. Sean will be here the whole time. He's going to go sleep at some point. He's been working all day.
Yeah. Well, and I also got a drive ahead of me.
I know. We're heading over to La Berge in Lake Charles. Myself, Sean, Brian, we'll be doing the bullpen there tomorrow from noon to 3 inside the sports book. Can't wait to do that. I'm looking forward to it. Trying to figure out what I'm going to bet on when I get there tonight. That was my wife was like, when should we leave? And I was like, well, as soon as possible, because I have games I'd like to wager on.
And I think that came over the air, but the noise you heard was literally him rubbing his hands when talking about wanting to bet on games.
I'm anxious. I like to bet on games.
Well, Joe, before you go to the La Berge, I mean, you can bet mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. While you're driving there.
I have some there.
Whoever, are you guys carpooling together?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. Well, I was about to say, like, one of you guys can drive and the other person can continue to make bets at mybookie.ag. Promo code bet975. Yeah. Matching your first deposit up to $1,000.
I do have some wagers placed there as well.
You do?
Yeah.
Like what?
Oh, I got Northwestern Moneyline start.
Oh, that's looking pretty good despite Northwestern being completely incapable of hitting a three.
Yeah, I mean, at one point they went like 6 minutes without scoring a basket.
And looking like I would actually fit in on that team.
For the most part, yeah.
How different did your Syracuse intramural team look?
Yeah.
Our Syracuse intramural team was more diverse than Northwestern.
Oh, whoa.
I mean,
I think.
Yeah, probably.
it's a close one.
Was it more diverse than the Syracuse basketball team?
No. No. It would be great if we – I mean, if we had Syracuse basketball players on our team, we would have killed people.
Oh, you can't get, like, Jim Boeheim's, like, fifth cousin or whatever that is on the bench.
You mean the basketball team now. When I was in college,
Buddy
no.
Boeheim.
Let's just say when I was in college, they were a lot better as a program where they weren't bringing in Boeheim cousins.
Was Jerry McNamara still
Yeah, or Eric Diebendorf or Joe Girard who just beat them at Clemson. Anyway, no one wants to talk about series.
March Madness, it was a good start yesterday, though.
It was
a fun tournament to start. You have the kid from U of I. He had the 10th ever triple-double in NCAA tournament history. You had a kid hit 40 points from Oregon for the first time since Steph Curry did it. You've got Oakland and this guy who
Oakland,
took...
Oakland, Michigan.
And Golkey, who took three dribbles the whole game. He took... Do you know how many two-pointers this guy took this year, Paul?
I'm going to guess 18.
Six.
Wow.
He took 6 2-pointers the entire season.
Just
he took like 254 shots on the year. Just bombs away 24/7. I love that.
I like it too.
Lance mentioned that on the morning show, and he brought up a good point of how many of those were threes that he had his toe on the line for.
Yeah.
Like how many of them were accidental 2-point
jumpers? Good point.
I bet you all of them. Like, if you've only taken 6 twos the entire year, I bet you none of them were intentional.
Not a fast break, not like a... No, I guess he doesn't... How many steps inside the three-point line does he take? Like, he doesn't do a lot of cutting, I imagine.
Nope.
Does Kentucky losing... Obviously, they're the 3 seed. Oakland's a 14 seed.
Yeah.
Should it be as dumped on when some random guy goes off for 10 three-pointers?
No, because this is what...
I feel like this is one of those flukish things where everyone's
exactly.
going to be mad at John Calipari. Everyone's going to be mad at Kentucky. I saw that Calipari was saying, well, maybe we need to have more veteran players. Because Oakland, I think, only had 3 underclassmen on the entire roster. And meanwhile, Kentucky, as always, it's like 7 freshmen, 8 sophomores, or something like that. I really wonder if the discourse about Kentucky today, who we all enjoy seeing lose, is fair.
I think it's fair. If this was a different program, I would say you are on the right path, and I totally agree with you. But Kentucky has 1 SEC tournament win and 1 March Madness win since, like, 2020. So John Calipari just, like, he can't win. Anymore.
It's bigger than one game. That's the it's a track record of this since 2019.
Yeah, like and we'll get to right into Kansas too and what happened last night. So Kansas is up by 1. They get the weird inbounds play where they have a guy running down to the hoop. He goes for a dunk. Samford, they get a clean block. It's not called a clean block, it's called a foul, and everything changes there. Like if Samford wins last night, that's not some major indictment on Kansas, the basketball program. But that play is brutal. I hate replay because it's so stupid. Why do we have it? Why do we have replay in collegiate or professional sports if you can't replay things that are so clearly wrong? Like, I don't need a challenge flag from a coach There should just be – it's so simple.
Well, that would be a way to do it, right? Yeah, if you add a challenge flag, that means that people wouldn't be doing it all game long?
Yeah. Just like they have in the NBA.
Right.
Like, why can't you just have someone that's eye in the sky, neutral party? Hey, guys, you beef this. Like you messed this one up. It's a clean block. That is not a foul. Like we are not going to have a March Madness game end because of a play like this. Like, there's got to be a way to fix that. I know – there's no perfect science, but you're either going to make a way where you can challenge everything and have everything under review, or nothing. I really am tired of this middle ground.
I understand that, but, I mean, no one's ever going to be happy. The problem is, you could add more referees, theoretically, it would be better. But I think the big problem is that we're expecting the guys who are on the court calling the game to have better eyes than the super high-powered HD cameras that even have 3D resolution at times.
Yeah.
You're expecting these old men, no offense to the old guys out there, our vision starts to go at certain points, right, Sean? I mean, you're wearing glasses. Oh. I'm just.
Well, it doesn't have to be an age thing. It could be a genetics thing.
You seem to bristle. You seem to bristle at the age thing.
You're these old men.
Yeah, but they are.
They're running up and down the court for
so they're probably panting half the game, and now you're expecting these guys to see everything. They have a very difficult job.
They do.
You know, as someone who generally backs the blue, I don't think there's a solution. I just think it's going to continue to get worse. People are going to get more and more frustrated. And now with gambling a part of the whole thing, you add in challenges and stuff.
No, for sure. That's why it's like either someone's eye in the sky. I don't need you to fix every single play. But when there's something egregious, you should be able to fix it.
The eye in the sky is great in theory. The problem, I think, with the eye in the sky is that for whatever reason, and I've noticed this more maybe with the NFL than with other leagues, but they don't seem to like overturning the calls on the field.
Yeah, they're very team.
Yeah.
Like
in the blue.
Yeah. remember when they made the pass interference challengeable after the Saints cried about it for an entire offseason.
Yep.
And then when they did it, it felt like they did it as a, see, here, look. And they did it where you could challenge defensive pass interference. We're never overturning it.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
On the field is always going to stand. So,
and yard line spotting and all that stuff. Yeah.
It's a situation. The reason I'm not huge on the challenge, or maybe you do it where, hey, okay, we're not looking at everything, but each coach gets one challenge you can use the last 2 minutes, and that's it. Like, anything else, that's basketball. You're going to have to live with it because, like Joe mentioned, like, there's missed calls anyway. They have replay right now. They can replay stuff right now.
I think that's what annoys me.
They still miss calls.
And that's what annoys me. It's like, you have replay. And why can't you just replay this?
And they have replay. They're still missing calls, but we get the added upside of the last 2 minutes of all these March Madness games take 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So thank God. Thank God for that. Like, it's
and the only minutes you want to last are the last four.
What?
The only minutes of the game that you want to last as it is are the last four. Though.
Yeah, but you want to see the back and forth nature. You don't want, okay, they made a shot. Now they call a timeout. Now they threw a ball out of bounds. Now we have to replay
to see if
someone's fingernail touched out of bounds.
They have made it a ugly viewing experience.
Yeah, I know. I forgot which game it was, but there was a game where I just had to turn it off. It was one of the first four games where I just turned it off. I was like, it's like already on the border of, like, it's a 6-point game with 50 seconds left. So it's like, this thing's probably over. But then those last 50 seconds took 10 minutes, and I'm like, okay, I'm out. Like, tell me who's ever going to lose in the first round to Florida.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I did love, and also the other game last night was a lot of fun. Dayton, down 17 with 7:14 left to go.
Awesome.
Come back, win by three.
Woo! Because they came out on a big run to start the game.
Yeah.
Then Nevada responded with a 24-0 run to end the first half. It was something crazy. And, yeah, Nevada had it. Looked like they had it in the bag. And Dayton comes storming back again. That's really, yeah. That might, I mean, no. The Oakland-Kentucky game is probably the best game from yesterday.
Yeah, I like it when one rando just goes off and the upset.
The upset adds a couple points versus a very close 7-10 game is like, yeah, that's about what I expect.
Yeah, because you don't really know much about those two schools as it is going into the game. But, hey, it was entertaining, those games.
Sean, you didn't pick Texas to win the national championship?
Damn, dude.
No, I gotta with my head, not my heart.
Did you pick the Cougs at least?
No.
Oh,
Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, Arizona. They always blow it. They're like the Purdue of the West.
I was like, I'm looking at the ESPN 975 bracket challenge. And I just
scrolled all the way to the bottom.
I hit predicted champion, and all of a sudden I see Sean Mapes in A. I'm like, who did Sean pick to win the national championship?
Oh, yeah.
And then he picked Arizona. Currently, I'm in 319th place, so strong start.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
B-Max tied for first, though.
Technically, I'm tied for first.
Like, in the 500s.
I mean, I might have a perfect bracket. I don't even know.
I think Paul does have a perfect bracket.
I might have a perfect bracket. I just didn't fill it out.
Paul knows Paul.
He actually filled his out as Bijan Robinson.
I'm filling out my bracket as teams play their games so I can have the most correct bracket. I don't think it's allowed. Yeah, I don't think that's allowed, but that's what I've been doing.
Nice.
I wonder, just Sharpie. Like, get it wrong on purpose at the end and see how many people you can dupe on Twitter that you have a perfect bracket. And we'll act like you can verify.
I think the problem is there's only 0.1% have the perfect bracket right now. And I imagine whatever games have gone final today have already made that over. Oh, nothing's final yet?
No.
Okay.
My favorite yesterday was I saw...
Northwestern, Florida Atlantic is the first. Okay.
I saw ESPN tweet that there was like 18 perfect brackets yesterday at one point. In which they hadn't predicted a single game correctly through the first, like, 7 games.
I like that.
I think that's just as impressive.
I think it's harder.
It's literally just as impressive.
Yeah, because, like, you're picking every single game wrong. You're intentionally picking 16 seeds over 1 seeds. So, like, you're clear. It's got to be the mascot thing or a coin flip.
Yeah, yeah. When people do, like, a stupid theme, yeah. That has to be what it is.
There was a contest in Vegas that we were promoting about a year ago, and if you came in last in picking football games on a week-to-week basis, you also won a prize.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like first got like a grand prize, second got like a little bit less, and then last place got
like $100,000.
Yeah, I think like they got way more than their money back. Like that's a great deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should have done that for the – oh, no, I think we do that for the bracket challenge. I think last place does get a prize.
Right,
I could be wrong.
I'm in the hunt.
Sean's in the hunt. at least of the employees of the station. All right. Paul, did you go to the theaters last night? Or did you watch this at home?
No, you can watch this at home now. It's on Amazon Prime, baby.
Yeah, so
my friend Jeff Bezos.
So Paul and Sean have both seen the new Roadhouse. Oh, Sean has not seen the new Roadhouse yet. I thought you said you were going to watch it.
I said I'm going to watch it.
I just assumed yesterday went going.
No, there's a little bit of March Madness in the way.
That's fair. Yeah, Paul chose Roadhouse over March Madness in Philadelphia.
I don't feel like...
I also had to go to bed.
I don't feel guilty about it.
That's true. You had to be up early. All right, what remakes do you hate? Which remakes do you want to see? What are your thoughts on remakes in general? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Live here at Nick's Place till 3 o'clock. Come on out. We got until 3 o'clock for $9.99. All you can eat pasta, soup, salad, garlic bread. Until 6 o'clock, they got $4 beers and well drinks, $5 Ritas, $6 wine. Of course, so many televisions. This is probably maybe the perfect place to watch March Madness.
Yep.
There's so many, especially in like, we got another game, San Diego State, UAB starting right now. So we got 3 or 4 games going on at this point. So this is a great place to watch March Madness and see how your bracket does.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Your invisible bracket.
My invisible perfect bracket.
Yeah. So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Yeah, you haven't lost a game.
Not once.
Kyle Tucker's bracket's not doing good. I saw that.
He had
McNeese State going to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
They lost by like 30.
Yeah. That was like the trendy 5 over 12.
Yeah, what a big mistake that was.
You never want to jump on the most trendy one.
That's a rough way to start off your most recent contract year.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
They just got him. Well, because they have the – I didn't listen to part of my take this week, and normally I do. And if I would have not picked that game – Because if you go and look at their schedule, they play colleges that don't look real.
Oh, yeah.
They played a school called Bible, the College of Biblical Studies.
Wow, look at Joe just slandering religion.
Their next game.
No, there's one hilarious.
Champion Christian Tigers.
That does sound like a high school.
That's 100%
sounds like legitimately sounds like a high school in Spring
that's
Branch.
That's a high school we would have played.
Yeah, yeah. How about this one? They played this one, Mississippi University for Women.
And what was the score of that one?
Okay.
92-23. Mississippi University for Women, Mississippi University for Women.
Wait.
That's what their whole title is.
Wait. So what's the percentage of male students at Mississippi University for Women?
At least enough to feel the basketball team, apparently.
Mississippi University for Women is not just for women?
Yeah.
I mean, it's for women.
Yeah, it's for women, but it's not just women.
I imagine
it's a co-educational public university in Columbus, Mississippi.
What? How do you?
I imagine it's like how Florida State was an all Florida because Florida State used to be a women's college.
Syracuse used to be an all women's college.
Yeah,
our colors used to be pink and green.
Yeah, and then in like the 50s or whatever, 40s, they I guess integrated. Is that the right word for it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, sounds right.
And they just didn't change the name.
Guess
what do you think their recruiting letter?
22% of that school is women.
22%.
Excuse me, 22% men.
Oh, 22% men. Okay.
That's you know what?
Put that on the brochure.
Yeah.
That's good.
But
the
problem is,
good odds there.
You have to change the name. I remember when I applied to TCU, the person that I spoke with for TCU said, hey, like, disregard the T. Like, don't think about the excuse me. Yes, sorry. Disregard the C.
It's a little dyslexic here.
There's too many TVs out here.
Christian University. Ignore the Texas.
Yeah.
Christian University.
That would be funny if that was the case. I was like, well, that's really going to make me come now. But no.
Ignore the C.
Man, that's crazy, though. 22%.
Like, could you imagine getting that recruiting letter? Like, all of a sudden, you know you're a low-level college basketball player, because no offense guys.
I was going to say, how much recruiting do you think? Like, how much of the team is recruited to? Because they're not a D1 school.
What are they, like NIIA then?
Yeah, they have.
Oh, okay. Because they're not. I've never heard of them before, so they're not D1. You're right.
So at some point they integrated. That's interesting.
Yeah, just like you're all of a sudden you open a letter and you're like, man, mom, I got this letter to go to college. Where? The University of Mississippi for Women. That's tough.
Do you think the 22% male or 23% male? Now I'm saying. Do you think that's all just guys who are like, this is hilarious, and they don't have like awesome grades, so they're not going to like you know a great school, so they're like, you know what? Might as well have some fun with it.
I don't know.
Let's go to the chick school.
Like you never had like you didn't have those friends in college who like the dudes who think they're so funny and they're gonna you know find a way to get in with the ladies by taking a gender studies class or something like that. I had those friends.
We had
it was 99% of their class was men.
Human sexuality.
Yeah,
as a white knight, I never needed to.
It's like it's always just dudes in the class because the women don't actually take those.
Imagine
classes.
Having to take that class. You should just be on the side of women as it is.
All right, so you saw Roadhouse last night.
I did see Roadhouse.
Is it a good remake?
It was better than I thought it would be.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it's like a great movie, but it was different enough from the original Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, where I stopped being mad about the fact that they are remaking a movie featuring the late Houston legend Patrick Swayze. The movie was different from this perspective. Basically, Dalton, played by Swayze in the original Roadhouse, is instead of being just the character that you come to know in the first one, he is essentially this extremely polite version of, for lack of a better term, Jack Reacher. If you've watched that show, he's like this wandering ex-MMA guy as opposed to a wandering ex-military guy. The fighting in it is great, and Conor McGregor literally just plays Conor McGregor. The first scene McGregor is in, you will laugh. It is just outrageously Conor McGregor, to the point where I bet like Conor McGregor asked for them to do this scene in the exact way that they did it.
Okay.
He wasn't a bad villain. It was good. I enjoyed it. I laughed a couple times. The action sequences were great.
Yeah, I remember when they filmed it. I was watching that UFC pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Jake Gyllenhaal's in the cage, and you're just like, what is happening right
that,
now?
That's how I found out, A, that there's going to be a Roadhouse remake.
Yeah.
B, that Jake Gyllenhaal was going to be playing an MMA guy.
But it feels like it was forever ago when that happened, and the movie just came out.
Well, yeah. That's,
like, but like,
it takes a while to turn around movies.
It feels like this one was longer than normal. I can't imagine this was like a high-level like CGI of movie here.
A lot of green screen.
Yeah. I think some of the fights involved some element
of really?
That. Yeah, it wasn't super...
Thanos is in this?
No, not quite. But you could tell that there were probably some effects where things were being sped up and made a little bit quicker than it actually was. So to make it look like this is like the greatest fighting of all time. And some of the camera angles, I was like, how is this possible?
Yeah.
There are like camera angles that were like underneath the fight and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, so there's probably a little CGI in it.
Yeah.
So it probably took a lot of time to make.
Apparently Jake Gyllenhaal did the, like, he filmed it in the middle of the UFC event on March 2023. March 6th.
It was only last year?
Yeah, it was 1 year ago.
That feels like it was way before that.
Yeah.
I guess concepts of time. My concept of time has been ruined since 2020. I feel like, when the world shut down for a little bit,
COVID
it was
just fog?
Like, I was just like, what is time?
I mean, 2020, and then you had a kid.
That's true.
That can't help.
Yeah, not sleeping much still these days. So what's some of the remakes that like you love or hate?
It's hard to ever feel great about a remake. I would say the most recent version of A Star Is Born was a good remake. That's Dune. Been remade several times.
Yeah, it's very good.
Dune.
Dune, too. Yeah, especially. Did Dune have a... Yeah. The original Dune have a part 2?
Or no, it didn't have a part 2. But
it was just all one movie?
No, yeah. They tried to fit it all in one
movie.
Oh,
boy. That could not have been good.
It was terrible.
It was bad. Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah, Dune, the remake of Dune was fantastic.
My first one that came to mind for both these, okay, I didn't see the original Ocean's 11 until much later. But the newer version is so much better. But then Ocean's 8 is awful.
Wow. She's so sexist.
That's whatever.
That's a funny
I stand
one.
With women. That one might have been better.
I don't, for this movie.
That's my favorite, though, when something gets rebooted several times.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, actually the middle one, weirdly enough, was the best one.
I'm looking forward to the new Ghostbusters. But the one that they also tried was also not very good.
Well, you just hate women, man.
No, they're
admit it.
They're trying real hard to do these movies, and they're not good.
No, they're not trying really hard. They're honoring women.
Well, then try harder.
Well, the only way you can honor women is by giving them all the roles of the men.
But give them better movies to
do that. Because of the glass ceiling that you're trying to put on them because you're part of the patriarchy.
No, I just want them to be in good movies.
God.
What else you got, Paul?
Be more MAGA. You can't.
I can't.
This guy's trying to get into Mississippi School of Women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul's trying to be the
gay graduate.
He's going to be the starting small forward for when they play McNeese again.
Honestly, I mean, could I play football for the Mississippi University of Women? I still have eligibility left. Probably could.
We should find out.
Do they have a football program?
I don't know, but I bet you could I bet you could be the best player on their team.
I would be
22% men. How can they field a football team?
Yeah, that's like 80% of the men in the college would be on the football team.
Well, no, that's good. That's good.
150 men at that go to the school.
Nah. You just don't understand women like me.
I guess not. Total Recall was one that they
Total Recall was a disastrous remake. They should have never done that. I'm angry that they did it. The original, and it had Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel and Colin Farrell in it. All three people that I like, and I still thought it sucked.
That's why it gets extra points, is that you can't really like... You can't really go back. You're like, how did this not work?
Right.
How did this stink so bad?
And because there's no Arnold, and the cheesy special effects in the original Total Recall actually age well, even though they're really bad.
Yeah.
At what point are the newest Batman franchises remakes of the
That's
old
what I,
Batman
I was,
franchises?
I was thinking kind of the same. I was thinking like the superhero realm.
Spider-Man, too.
Yeah. Andrew Garfield was good as Spider-Man. The movies weren't very good.
Yeah, I think he was actually very good for... My biggest pet peeve with those is I hate how they get adults and then make them look like they're supposed to be in high school. Or like Tom Holland actually looks
Tom
like...
Tom Holland seemed like a high schooler.
He looks like a high school kid. And like, so like I think he's by far the best one. And I love Toby and I like Garfield too, but...
I saw the Toby one relatively recently. It is staggering how... 30 years old they look while in high
I know.
School. Like, looking back on it, you're like, wow, they didn't even come close to casting
no.
people that kind of look like they could be high school seniors.
Yeah, it's like, and like, not a single kid. Yeah. Not a single, so they all look like adults. So I guess at least they all look the
it's
same.
It's like normal-looking James Franco is supposed to be a 17-year-old.
All right, we will continue this on the other side. We're going to take a break, and then we'll get to our Astros countdown as well. What remakes do you want to see? What movie came out that you're ready to see rebooted? We'll continue this Batman conversation as well because it's a Friday. So if you got any random questions for us, let us know.
Ask G&G anything.
We're here for you. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Rick Burgess from The Rick Burgess Show. If you're still auto-renewing your car insurance without shopping around, you are probably throwing money away. I'm telling you, go check out Insurify. In about 2 minutes, totally free, you can compare quotes from over 100 companies all in one place. Now, here's what I love. Insurify actually monitors your rates and alerts you when prices drop, so you never miss out on a better deal. Millions of people have used it to stop overpaying, and there's no reason you shouldn't too. Do yourself a favor. See what you can save right now at Insurify.com.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2 times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.